May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one who makes us children of the Heavenly Father, made Rex a child of the Heavenly Father today. Praise be to God. Our text is the gospel lesson, Jesus teaching His disciples along the way to the cross. Let us pray as we consider the Word of God. We pray, Lord, always open our ears to hear Your Word. Open our minds, open our hearts to receive it in faith and repentance and understanding. The disciples didn't understand why You had to die and rise. Grant us the Spirit that we understand Your death is our salvation. Your resurrection is our resurrection, our entrance into heaven. Bless now the preaching, the hearing of Your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stop and start. Stop, First Lutheran, and visitors and friends, and start, First Lutheran, and visitors and friends. Stop and start, red light, green light. That is the theme of the sermon today, and that is really a theme of the gospel lesson. The Lord is teaching His disciples along the way to the cross. And in so many words, He's saying to His disciples, He's saying to us, His disciples, Christians, baptized believers, He's saying, stop and start. And you heard the gospel lesson. You tell me, what are we supposed to stop doing and what are we supposed to start doing? And I'll wait for answers. I don't want to wait all day. Stop what? Stop arguing. Church, Christians, families, marriages. Stop arguing and start what? Start asking the right questions. Stop what? Got that point. More on that coming. And start what? That's our gospel lesson. Let me explain, and then may the Holy Spirit be with us that we go forth to live this way as the children of God. First of all, our Lord here is our master in this gospel is telling us, stop arguing. Stop bickering, quarreling. Stop all the fighting. Notice in this gospel, the disciples are with Christ. And what are the disciples doing? They're arguing. They're fighting. And what are they arguing about? They're arguing about who is the greatest. It almost makes me chuckle and laugh. These are not kindergartners. These are not small children. I'm faster than you are. I'm smarter than you are. My dad could beat your dad up. These aren't little kids. These are grown men. And the text seems to indicate all 12 of them are arguing about it. You don't just have one or two disciples over here arguing and the other 10 are not. You have all 12 grown men arguing about who's the greatest. And the Greek seems to mean they kept on arguing too. It wasn't just a one-time argument. We're done with that in 5 minutes. But they kept on arguing, they kept on discussing, and kept on arguing over and over again about who was the greatest. You can imagine their argument, can't you? Who do you think was the loudest at arguing? Peter. Can't you picture Peter? I'm the greatest. I'm the one he called the rock. The rest of you are a bunch of pebbles compared to me. I'm the rock. I'm the one that confessed Jesus to be the Christ. You guys didn't confess. I confessed. And Jesus gave me the keys of the kingdom, didn't he? I'm the greatest by far. And I can imagine John chiming in maybe. And John would say, wait a second, Peter. You're a bumbling fool too. You always stick your foot in your mouth. I'm the greatest. I'm Jesus' best friend. I'm the one he really loves. I sit next to him all the time. We talk all the time. I'm greater than you. I'm closest to Jesus. I'm John, the greatest. Maybe Matthew chimed in. What are you guys talking about? I'm the greatest. I left my great position as tax collector. I was making money, having possessions. I left all the money, all the possessions to follow Christ. I'm the greatest. I gave up the most to follow him. I'm the greatest. And maybe Andrew and Philip said, no, we're the greatest. After all, we were the first disciples. Andrew invited Peter to come see Jesus. Andrew could have said to his brother, look, Peter, you wouldn't even be around if I hadn't come and got you and invited you. I'm the greatest. I was the first disciple, along with Philip, Nathaniel. We're the greatest. And on and on and on. You know, this text is not here for us to laugh and chuckle and point fingers at 12 disciples arguing. It is here for us to look in the mirror and consider our own pride and ego. We're all different people from different places, but we all have something very much in common. We all have a big ego. And if you don't think you have a big ego, you probably have a bigger ego than everybody else because you live in false humility. We all want to be number one. We all think we're great. We're smart. We're the greatest. I'm sure some of you right now could stand up. Who gives the most money to First Lutheran? You write a big fat check to First Lutheran. You got one in your pocket right now. You could stand up right now. I'm the greatest. We would never survive without my check, without my offering. I'm the greatest. I can rule here because I give the most money. Others could say what? I'm the greatest. I'm always in Bible class. I'm in Sunday school. My kids are. I go to Wednesday church. And a lot of you don't go to Wednesday church. I go to Wednesday church. I'm closer to Jesus than you are. I hear the word more than you. I commune with. I'm the greatest by far. I'm closer to Christ than all of you. I'm the greatest. And maybe the choir and handbells. We're the greatest. We sing in the choir. We're the handbell people. We have a great organ. We have a great organist. We're the greatest. Without all the music, this church would have pathetic worship. We're the greatest. And those that serve on boards. Maybe you're on the church council. You're on the board of elders. You're on some other board. I'm the greatest. Come on, I serve here. I do this. I do that. The school staff and the Sunday school staff, you could brag you're the greatest. We actually welcome the little children. I mean, Jesus said to do that, welcome the child. We actually do it. The rest of you guys are snobs sometimes. You don't even welcome children. We're the greatest. We love the children. We teach the children. Where are you guys at? We're better than all you guys. We serve hard and often don't get paid and don't get recognition. We're the greatest. And of course, then there's the pastor. We all know I'm already the greatest athlete, am I not? Obviously, I'm the greatest. I got the biggest mouth anyway, don't I? And probably the biggest belly, by the way, too. I'm the greatest. And on and on and on. What a patient Lord we have. What a patient Lord we have with His disciples and with you and I. When I was growing up, I lived in Indiana, and Kentucky was a big rival of ours. Still is. Never liked people in Kentucky. They don't like people in Indiana. When I was growing up, Indiana and Kentucky argued all the time about who had the better basketball program. We had Bobby Knight, won national titles, won Big Ten titles. Kentucky's always been good. And we'd argue back and forth with Kentucky people. Oh, we're better than you guys. We beat you guys last year. You beat us. We won more national titles than you guys. We'd argue about who's the best at basketball. But guess what growing up we never argued about? We never argued who was better at football. Why not? Because we both stink at football. We're both horrible at football. Why argue when you're horrible? Indiana's horrible. They're lousy, and so's Kentucky. Although last year, you know, Kentucky kind of got a piece of Tennessee, didn't they? But when you're down at the bottom, you're a bottom dweller, you don't argue about who's the greatest because you're way down here. And this is the 12 disciples in you and I. We all know who the greatest person is in Mark chapter 9. Who's the greatest person in that text? His name is Jesus. How dare you say you're the greatest when you have Jesus there? And we're way down here, sinners. And so what if you give a little bit more? Or you do a little bit more, or you sing a little bit louder and better. Who cares? We're all sinners, and how dare we in our pride and ego raise ourselves up. I'm better than the rest of you. I know better than the rest of you. Sit down and be quiet and repent of your sins, God would say. Humble yourself. Humble yourself and repent. Stop what, church? Stop arguing. Stop fighting. Be humble. We're all way down here, Kentucky, Indiana, and football. Tennessee going that direction too. We're all way down here. Be humble. No reason to brag. Start asking. Start asking. And there are, start seeking and desiring. And there are two things we are to ask about and seek and desire from this text. Number one, you're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ. Start asking how you can serve. Don't argue about how great you are. Look at all things I've done. Start asking in humility, how can I serve? Who can I help? What can I do? Isn't that where Jesus directs the discussion? What a masterful teacher. These 12 men are standing up. Look at me. Look at how great I am. Here's my credentials. Look at me. Look at you. I'm better than you. And Jesus brings a little child, a little bitty child into their midst. He takes the child in his arms and says, "You want to be great? Be a servant and welcome the least among you, even a little child." Whoever the least is of society, the homeless, the beggars, the poor, all those we want to cast off. Back in that day, sadly, it was often children they were looked down upon. I pray we don't do that. But welcome, serve, give. What child can I reach out to? What child can I serve? Who can I give a word of encouragement to? What senior saint can I go visit and give a word of encouragement to? Who can I go comfort that's dying perhaps? Who can I sit down with and listen to their woes and their problems and pray with them? Who can I share the good news with in my neighborhood, in my workplace? Who can I speak of Jesus to? How can I serve, Lord, rather than waking up and saying, "How much money am I going to make today? It's all about me. What am I going to have for lunch?" Who can I serve and help? This is what we ask about. You know, I read a good little joke about that I'll share with you. It describes the church pretty well, I think, at times. Here it is. A cruise ship passes a small desert island. Everyone watches as a ratty-looking bearded man runs out on the beach and starts shouting and waving his hands. "Who's that?" asks one of the passengers. The captain replies, "I have no idea. But every year we sail past and he goes nuts." Duh. How foolish. How stupid. What's wrong with the guy, church? He's deserted. He's lost. He needs help. And you just pass on by as if you don't know who he is. That little story kind of struck me about the church. We're in a boat sailing towards heaven. The First Lutheran love boat. Because we have the love of God and we love each other as imperfect as we are. Sailing along to heaven. We're all in the boat, safe and secure. We have Christ. We're baptized. Rex is now on the boat. We have a lot of crying people right around us. A lot of crying people in the world. They're shouting and crying. They're deserted. They're lost. They're guilt-ridden. They're in despair. They want in. They want Christ. They want God. They don't know how. They don't know much about it all. But how dare we go by and say, "Who's that?" Well, I don't know. They're just begging, crying, lost, deserted. Let somebody else take care of it. I'm too busy. And they're, quote, "not worthy of my time anyway." And how dare we be so proud and egotistical? Who will I serve? Who will I reach out to? You know, the disciples are the least in this text because of their sin. And so are we in God's house. We're the least. We're all in last place tie. We don't boast. But also the disciples, because they are with Jesus, they're already the greatest. When you're with Christ, you have faith in Christ, you're baptized, you're still a sinner, so you're humble. But you've been lifted up by God to be a child of God. What is our school theme, kids? We got to wake the kids up there. What's our school theme, kids?
Children of God.
Yeah, see, we're way up here, children of God. We're heirs of salvation, apple of God's eye. We're already the greatest in God's sight because of Christ. Because of Christ, and because I'm already way up here, the greatest. I don't have to climb the ladder. Now I can lift somebody else up the ladder that's not on the ladder or even close to it. I can give of my life and be a servant. How can you serve? What can you do? And then an even more important question, ask about salvation. Ask about your Savior. And isn't this really the most important thing? At the beginning of the text here, Jesus begins the text teaching them. This is so important. He calls them aside. He takes a little private time with them. It's so important. And he tells them what? He tells them the most important news they could ever hear. He tells them the Son of Man, that's him, is going to Jerusalem. What's going to happen? He's going to be killed and after 3 days rise again. This is the gospel. This is the Bible. This is, talk about a soundbite. This is the soundbite of soundbites. God's going to die on a cross and God's going to rise again. This is forgiveness. This is peace with God. This is heaven. This is salvation. All right here in this one statement from Jesus. Wow. He's going to be killed and rise. And what's the reaction of the disciples? They didn't understand, and they're too afraid to ask. Ask, seek, knock. They're too busy arguing about who's the greatest, too, by the way. Seek the Lord. Ask of the Lord. Grow in your knowledge of His holy word. Don't sit back and say, well, I've been confirmed 19 years ago, 37 years. I know my catechism. I know some Bible verses. I know enough. Baloney. Grow closer to Jesus. Seek Him. What a great Bible study they would have had if the disciples would have simply said, one of them, Jesus, teach us what it means. We asked Jesus, what are you talking about? He could have told them, this is why I'm going to die. This is why I will rise. Here it's prophesied in the Old Testament. This is what it's all about. This is why I came. This is why salvation, peace, forgiveness. What a great study they could have had on the mercy of God, the salvation of God, all right here. But they're too afraid to ask. And they just go away arguing. You hungry for Jesus? You want more of Jesus, closer relationship to Jesus, or are you satisfied? A Sunday school teacher asked her little children, we're going to church now. Do you know, you know why it's important to be quiet in church? You know why it's important to be quiet in church? What did the little boy say? It's really important to be quiet in church because people are sleeping. Is that what we're doing? Are we sleeping? Or are we seeking? Putting in our time? Or really desiring the bread of life and relationship with God? How about you? You know how many words a man says in one day? Approximately, a study has shown, a man will speak 12,000 words in a day. Now, by a study, guess how many words a woman speaks in a day? 25,000. We all knew women speak a lot more, have a lot more wise things to say. That's a study. We all like to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. I like to talk too. That's why I'm a preacher. I like to talk. There comes a time, folks, to listen. Stop the talking and listen to Jesus. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise. It's salvation. It's forgiveness. This is my will for you to be a servant. Put away the iPhone 5, fastest phone in the world. Put away all the gadgets, the TV set, all the games, and sit and listen to the Word of God and grow in the Word of God. For He has the words of eternal life. He has the words of forgiveness. He has the words of salvation. He has the words of hope, joy, and peace for the whole world and for you too. What are you listening to? What are you seeking? First Lutheran Church, visitors, friends, good to have you here. Stop what? Arguing. And start what? Asking. Easy to talk about. May the Spirit help you go live it. Amen.